Given by God, and Brother Smith was he quoted this scripture, I guess it was Matthew 23:23, that says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Oh, don't have, I think it says no life, doesn't it? But anyway, Brother Weininger was talking about, he was saying about the blood. There's power in the blood, and saying the song Sister Joda sang about the blood, what gives power? I can't remember. But anyway, that's where it comes from. You know, we know that God's word, I think you get power in a lot of things in God. His word and his spirit. That the blood type is a type of the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and that's where our power, the source of our power in God. And I'm just thankful tonight that we can feel that God's power that God gives us, and that enables us to serve God better, enables us to go on and face things that we have to face in life. And sometimes, you know, you have to have some power from on high. You know, a lot of times you feel like you can't go any further in your own strength, and that's when you have to have God's assistance, his power to help you. So I'm thankful tonight that we're singing about these things, and not only are we singing about it, but we're learning, you know, God, where we can get strength from God. And we know that some people may not know where to turn or where to get strength, but we know where we can call on God. And sometimes, you know, we trudge along with things, and you know, it just automatic that, you know, you go as far as you can in your own strength, and you do things, and you feel like, you know, I can do this, and you start doing it. But we know that ultimately God can, we know he can help us. What I'm saying, he can help us, and he let us do some things that, you know, go as far as we can. And you know, just like, you know, raising children, you know, you can't help them with every little thing they do. You have to let them try and let them do some failing, and let them see that, you know, I messed up. I let them see that they can't do it themselves, you know. Then they can ask for help. But and that's the same way with God. You know, you know, we have to learn that we do have limitations, you know, but unless I, you know, keep trudging on, and I won't maybe know my limitation, but I know I have them. And but God can help us with that. He can help us with our limitations, let us see what we can't do, do on our own. So it's good to be here tonight and begin to reach out here, like I say, and call upon the Lord and realize and appreciate him for his power and for what he's given us. It's a scripture that talks about God. I think he give his wisdom, but that's another one that he, the rest of it comes through the ministry. A lot of things come through God's ministry, and but God does give things. And I think it says he gives wisdom, but out of his mouth comes understanding. Is that right? That's scripture in Proverbs, but. And that out of his mouth, I feel like is God's ministry is his mouthpiece. So anyway, we do get things that will help us in our life to go on through God's ministry. And I appreciate, like I say, everyone here. I appreciated everyone that helped with our bedding Friday night, and it was we were able to fill not maybe every bed, but we've got everybody that put the name on the list got somebody to stay with them. And it was, I'm sure those people, Brother Rodriguez called back and was so thankful and showing his appreciation for, you know, how helpful everybody with this church was to them. I told them I wish they could be here for a church service, and they, of course, they were going on. Matter of fact, I know Sister Sherry can test to this. We had people stay at the church here three different nights. Is that right? Three. The beds here at church were used three different nights, I put it that way. And so we had lots of visitors that we didn't see them all, but we had them. And that's a blessing, you know, to be able to help God's people, knowing that they was, you know, on their way to a meeting. And I feel like some of that God gives us, the strength and power, is to serve others, you know. I was thinking on one of the songs, I guess, that Sister Jody was singing about, and to the end, enduring to the end, serving unto the end. You know, I mean, I was thinking that earlier about, you know, serving. I may not be around, you know, and as I, you know, in this life as I know it, when the church is restored. But, you know, if I just serve my generation, if I just serve the time that God gives me, it says serve him until the end. And I was thinking that end may just be the end of my life. But I need to serve him to the end, you know, and that's what I want to do. I want to have that kind of heart, a servant's heart, is to serve God. You know, I might, you know, we've seen times where people are prophesied and given times when they feel like the church would be restored and when Jesus would be back and all that. But even, you know, I don't have to really worry about that so much. But if I just keep serving God, I just serve God in the time that he's given me, you know, and my generation, you know, that's all. I feel like that's all he's asking us to do is serve our generation, is serve him, you know, while I have my being. You know, it's in Psalms it talks about, you know, while we have our being, while we're living. You know, if we're serving God and give our hearts to God and serve him and, you know, use the power that he give us and use the resources that he give us and keep serving God. You know, I've seen, you know, I don't have to try to figure it out, you know. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, tables, timetables and things that you can use to come up with some times and dates. But if I just keep serving him, if I have my heart right with God, and I want to have a servant's heart to be able to serve God in whatever capacity that he has for us, you know, I can't look back sometime out, you know, you go to a day or whatever, and you look back, and you wish you could have done, you know, something different or whatever. But, you know, God, you know, that's all we can do. I can't change it. You know, once I look back and say, man, I wish I'd have done that different. But, you know, right now, if I try to do whatever correction I can do, you know, right now while I'm living, I can't, you know, yesterday is gone. You know, I can't go back and get it. But I do have today. And that's what we have to do, is try to make the best of our time serving God and use it as wise as we can. You know, use it, so use your time wisely, you know, as wisely as you know to use it. You know, my wisdom may not be too good sometimes, but just use my time for God. You know, I have to talk to myself about that, you know, I'll go through the day and I have to just, you know, the carnal mind is enmity against God. So I have to, you know, set him down and make him, you know, pick up the Bible and say, look, you know, and read. Because it doesn't come natural for the carnal man to just want to read the Bible. I'm just telling you, like, it does not. I found that you have to make time and to do the things of God. And when you do, you feel better. I'm just saying, I mean, my day, I feel better about my day when I can just make myself do what I need to do, you know, for God, his word and prayer and the things that I feel like will help us in life. Sometimes you have to just, you know, make yourself do that, because it's not natural to just fall on your knees and begin to call out to God. You just have to have some help there. And I appreciate being in a place that we emphasize, you know, that we need God, we need to pray, we need to read his word. I'm reading the Bible chronologically on this new way Brother Smith has given us, and I feel like I've gotten a lot more out of it, because, you know, when it's talking about David, everything dealing with David, you know, they use all the scriptures. I'm glad I've got a chart to keep up with it, because otherwise I'd get off track, because you're all over the place, you know, in the New Testament. But I felt I can see where, you know, the names, you know, they in some, like in Chronicles, and they might use a word, was one I was thinking about the other day, and they have a different pronunciation on names and even numbers. Sometimes the figures they have are, you know, and the book that I got, the Bible I have, this I got a little some commentary notes that goes along with it, and he'll try to explain why these numbers are different, you know, the different scriptures, or why some of the names are different. But anyway, it's good. I'm getting a lot out of it, and I appreciate having to do it this way. But like I say, you have to watch. You know, I won't, if you're doing it, you know, from Genesis to Revelation sequentially, like the Bible is written, it's kind of easy to keep track. But this is a good way to do it. But if you're like me, you forget and you think, did I already read that? But anyway, you might can get mixed up. I try to keep straight. But anyway, it's been good, and I've really been enjoying reading it that way. And also tonight, we need to kind of mention, Sister Linda, I know the funeral is Friday here at the church at 11 o'clock. Is that right? And ma'am? Is it just below the Alexander exit? Take the Alexander. Say it again. Okay, so it's a little further than Alexander, what I'm thinking. Okay. What's is there a number on the building? Is there an address number on the building? Oh, it is. Okay. Yes, sir. You can get a number. 4212, Highway 5. Okay. Ma'am? Okay. Y'all hear that? Okay. And this is what time? You said 5? 6 to 8. Okay. Visitation. Okay. All right. That's Thursday night. And also, is there a program out to Selena that she's gonna get your mic, Sister Linda.
I talked to Brother Mike Sunday night, and I told him, I said, the last time I did a funeral was my daughter's, and I can't remember. It's been 25 years. So I said, Ray picked 3 songs. I said, I gave them to him, and I said, would you get somebody to sing this and that, and then the band number, and do the thing however y'all want. I don't care. You know, y'all can do it. Brother Tally, if you want to do it, it don't matter to me. I don't know what to do. I'm asking y'all to take over and make a program, you know.
So you don't have a written program as far?
No,
as
I don't.
What were the 3 songs that you
wrote? What a Day That Will Be, and he said he was going to get 2 people to sing with him, I think. And
I will tomorrow. I'll talk to Brother McGowan about the band. 10,000 Years, band number.
Yeah, that's the 10,000 Years, the band number. And then How Great Thou Art and Amazing Grace.
Okay, but you have any idea who you might have to sing those?
I'm not picky. Whoever, I love everybody singing. I told Sister Jody, but she's she don't know if she can take off. And then Sister Lynette's not here. And Dolores, if you can, hey, send her, Sister Cindy, if she can come. Anybody. I love everybody, and I love everybody singing. So whoever's available.
Ma'am. Okay. We'll work on it, Sister Linda.
Okay. I mean, was I supposed to make a program? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I've got so it may not be necessary feeling. If. But anyway, just what you're doing already, making that known, what the song's going to be needed in the service.
Yeah, and then if y'all can say, like, if anybody wants to get up and say anything, I know my grandson wants to get up and say something. So, okay. You know, that's all I ask.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm glad you're. And also, like the band members that can be available Friday, if anybody know that they can, let us know, you know, because for me, we kind of got a little bit of a problem because my wife got a family member that passed away and they're having a funeral at the same time as they're having the service here. But I think Brother McGowan should be able to do the band, but we need to make sure, you know, there are band members. He's not here to say that, so, I mean, if he show up Friday and there's no band members, then... You know, so that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. So anybody that's a band member that can be here, you know, you can let me know. It'd be fine. I'll be talking to him, and he'll know what he got, you know, because when you, I don't know, you know, in a regular church service, we can kind of limp along and do stuff, you know. But when you come to a service like that and you got visitors and, you know, I'm just saying this to just be helpful to whoever called. You walk up here and you got all tenor players or all alto when you don't have any lead and you don't have, you know, I'm just saying that just to kind of get, so you get a feel of what's needed and if you can help us out. So anyway, appreciate that very much. And let's remember the folks at the camp meeting. I hope everything's going good. And different needs. I know Sister Crow requested prayer last Sunday, I think, for Brother Foster. And Brother Crow told him that he's pretty stable, Sister Crow. And that's so he makes some progress. Okay. Remember Brother Foster. Still need prayer. He's still in intensive care? Okay. Remember him, Brother Richard Foster. And I'm sure we're still praying for Brother David Angelo. I don't hear a lot of reports on him, but anyway, let's keep praying for him. Sister Ratliff and her family. Any other requests that we might just send there? Mike. Remember Brother Mike. Pray for him. Sick, Sister Durham. Yes, Sister Ellen, okay. Brother Stewart. Your dad, okay. Remember that, Brother Mike? Your ear, yeah. Brother Mike's lost here in the left side, right? All right, remember, Brother Mike. All right. All right. Remember, Sister Crow's sister. Pray that God will give him strength and help him. Anyway, lots going on. My wife keeps saying, since, you know, we're getting a little older and we seem to see go to a lot of funerals, but I mean, see if it's all right if you're not going to your own. But anyway. But, you know, we got this funeral Friday. Then I have a relative on my side, a niece, not a real old person. She's just 31 years old, I believe. And she's having her funeral this coming Saturday. So, anyway, we just, and that's the day and time we're living in. I know probably having, you know, getting older, you do kind of see a few more funerals probably, but, anyway, the time that we're living in, I just feel like if we, you know, get our, you know, our minds girded up in God and do all we can, you know, as far as leaning on God for our help And sometimes you don't know what words to put on things. You say, what to say as far as encouraging people. But I know that our help comes from God. I know that. And if we begin to lean on Him, when they call me and I try to tell them, we might not have all the answers for everything that goes on and why this happened, but we do know God knows about it. We're serving a God that knows everything, and He knows all about it. I my sister called me, and I tell him, when David, of course, he messed up, with Bathsheba, but anyway, when that baby was born, and he was fasting for that baby, and his servants were saying, after the baby died, he found out, he was whispering or whatever, and he found out that this baby had died, and they would ask him, say, why were you fasting while the baby was living? Out of these dead, you're eating. And he was saying, he just felt like, God has all power. He knew about the power of God, and he just said it may be. He was just thinking God may, he didn't. But anyway, he just said that's what it is. I think it helps to know, if we know, when you begin to know God and know the source of strength that you have. I mean that it's a consolation. I feel like if you begin, and then you pray to God and pray that and try to. Get some peace about it, and try to understand and try to, from God's point of view, maybe this is better this way. Sometimes you have to look at it that way. You have to say, I know God knows this, and God knows, our hearts when we're sincere with God, and He may not change the situation. But if you can just understand that something about this, I don't understand, but I know God understands, and if He can help me to maybe say, consider, I was reading a scripture that it says in the right before it said in the day of adversity, consider, but right before that, it was talking about prospering, but then it's, we live and we have some prosperity, and then we have trouble. But anyway, I know it says in the day of adversity, consider. So sometimes, you have to just try to look at it from God's point of view and try to see, God, I know you know this situation. I know you know all about this need, and try to have my heart to where I'm reaching out, to help, somebody as much as I can. And at least as a part of understanding. If you can just understand, like this scripture Brother Smith was reading, I think in Psalm 73, he says it's about Jesus, how that he, when he began to get into the sanctuary of God, he understood, he was troubled a little bit about the wicked, why they was prospering, why the wicked prospering to hear people that are trying to serve God, they're not prospering. But when he went into the sanctuary of God, began to, get a better understanding about the situation, and he was getting more peace about it. That's what I want to do. I want to have a peace. I want to have peace with God. And I want to be able to, I know I'm not going to understand everything that go on, but if I can just have some, just a little bit, Lord, just give me a little bit of understanding to where I can deal with this. Where you say, God knows, what I'm going through and know what they're going through, and you're praying to Him about it, and His heart to, leave it in His hands, I understand that, but that's what, if I can just have some peace about it. So I'm thankful tonight that we're here, and let's pray for these needs here tonight. I guess we'll do an offering. I'll do it if the ushers come, and we'll continue. Does anybody else have any other requests? Sister Ann. Okay. Sister Ann. You and Brother Paul. All right. Rhonda, yeah. Family crisis. Okay. Remember Brother Daniel's niece, Rhonda. Let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. Pray that God will help His people. Lord, we thank You tonight. Have this opportunity, Lord, to reach out to You. Pray that You touch it, Lord. Let You touch it. Lord, help us, God. Precious Savior, thank You. Glory, 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 glory. Precious Savior, thank you. Oh, blessed be your name,
falling down like rain from heaven above, filling us, making our hearts alive. When we think our burdens are too much for us to bear, then here comes the for us to bear. Then here comes the Spirit of the Lord. Falling down like rain from heaven above, filling us, oh, and making our hearts alive. Oh, when we think our burdens are too much for us to bear, then here comes the Spirit of the
First of all, I'll go back about 4 or 5 years ago. I can't even remember exactly. I was working at Griffin Lake at Forest Hills, and I decided I need to get my brother set up for a pre-arrangement funeral thing, you know, where he could pay every month. And so anyway, got him set up, and he on and off, he would go visit the church over there, Vimy Ridge, Brother Dudley, and he told me that they told him they had a funeral home. And I'm like, well, okay, you want to go talk to them? Yeah. So we went and talked to Brother Dudley and at the funeral home, Dudley and Dial, and showed him the contract that we had from Forethought, which is the finance company that Forest Hills use. And he looked at it and all that. He goes, he said, man, he goes, they're really ripping you off, aren't they? And I go, I don't know. I mean, I thought that was normal, all that stuff. All those, I thought it was a lot of money. It's more expensive to die than to live, practically. And he said, yeah. He said, but you know what? He said, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to use my prices. He goes, is y'all going to do the funeral viewing here? He goes, we're going to, you're going to get some money back. He goes, don't you worry. We're going to make it right. And I said, okay. You know, forgot all about it, what he said. And, well, whenever he passed, I go in Monday and talk to them there and at the funeral home and got everything set up. And I didn't have to do anything because everything was, you know, set up. And they go, well, we'll call you about something during the week. You got to go by Forest Hills because that's where the cemetery, that's where he's going to be buried, because we have a plot for him there. And so I go in there and talk to them, and she's pulled the papers and all that stuff, and she goes, okay, do you want to pay this with a Visa, cash, check? And I go, pay what? He goes, the opening and closing of the grave. And I'm like, I thought everything was included in the insurance. And he goes, no. Our prices go up, so, you know, we can't freeze that. You know, people has to pay that up front. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Well, then how much are you saying? She goes, $1,125. I go, you got to be kidding me. And I said, and Stan was sitting there. He goes, my mother, we just buried my mom 8 months ago, and it was $615. And you're saying that it went up that high? He goes, yes, price increase. I said, oh, my God, what is it going to be like if I die 5 years from now? Probably $3,000. So that made me think, man, I got to start saving some money. So anyways, I left there like as low as you can be, you know. It's like, where am I going to get that money, you know? And I just started, you know, like, Lord, you know what's going on here. And you know that I did everything I could for my brother to help him. And here I get slapped with this. And I got to the house and I sat on the porch. We have 3 rocking chairs, one for me, Junior, and Stan, and for my brother. And I was just sitting there rocking, and then I heard my brother's voice. He goes, don't worry about it. You'll be all right. You know, like he was sitting right there, and I looked, and I go, okay, and it made me smile. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm not going to worry about it. It's going to be okay. And I felt like a peace, a warmth, and I said, I know that's God, people praying for me, because I know a lot of people say they're praying, and I felt it. I felt God's arms around me. I felt warm, and I felt the peace, and so I just didn't worry about it. And of course, you know, common sense tell you got to do something. Okay, you got to have the money by 10 o'clock Thursday morning, or they're not going to bury him. So I didn't know where to turn to at first. And I thought, okay. And so Stan said he'll talk to our mechanic. And they said, don't worry, you know, we'll try to, you know, see if we can come up with some money. And so today, still didn't have the money. So today, I get a call from Brother Dudley, and he goes, I heard what they're trying to charge you over there. He goes, I'm here to tell you, we're writing a check for $1,125 and taking it over there today. He goes, you don't worry about that. He goes, Ray had enough money left over on the insurance. Like I told you before that, he's going to have, you know, they had overcharged him. And he said, and also I was worried about the flowers, you know, the top flowers you put on top of the grave, I mean the casket. I had called one of the florists, and they said the cheapest is $115 and goes all the way up to $500. I'm like, okay. So I said, well, let me talk to them first and see if it's covered in there. And so he told me, he goes, don't worry about the flowers. He goes, you don't worry about anything. He goes, and we're here for you and all that. And anyway, so I started crying on the phone. I said, oh my God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I had been, you know, when I was sitting there on the porch, I said, Lord, you know, I need a miracle. I don't know how or where, but I know you're going to come through. And I, you know, oh my God. I mean, that is a miracle, because I mean, God answered it in 2 days, you know, and I was like so overwhelmed with gratitude. And I called Philip right away at work. And then I don't know who else I called. I was so happy. And so I just want to also thank y'all, because, you know, I was so, you know, it's hard, because Saturday when he came home, and I was going to fix him a sandwich, and, you know, he lives with me. He lived with me 13 years, and he goes, he had come home to get a large ladder, and his truck was he's having trouble with the truck for some reason, and he just came on home, and Stan said, take my truck, Ray. And so he put the ladder in his truck and come inside and went to the bedroom. And then I heard in the hallway, he come out a thump. And I go over there and I heard some moaning, and I couldn't face him. So I hollered at Stan to come help, you know. And so he said, call 911, because he was foaming at the mouth. He was having a seizure. And so 911, of course, told me what to tell Stan, what to do step by step, and till the ambulance got there. And, of course, they did a little bit, and they took him on, and at the hospital they said they got a heartbeat, and they gave us hope. And we sat there, and the girl that Junior was going to work for, she met, when I called her, I said, Debony, I said, Ray's not coming back up there. I said, I don't know, I'm not going to say he's dead, I said, but he's passed out. And I said, and the ambulance is just took him to the hospital, Baptist. He goes, okay, hon, don't worry about it. And when we got there, her and her cousin were there waiting on us, and they stayed with us in the family room, and about 30 minutes, you know, and they said he kept going in and out. He never came to, but his heart was, you know, beating on and off. And the three doctors came in and said, I'm sorry, we did everything. It was just a massive heart attack. And they were there, you know, and they wrapped our arms around. They were so nice. And I knew God had brought them into our lives for some reason, because they have called, you know, every day and checked on us. And they said they'll be there at the viewing once from the cousins from Memphis. But Debony lives here, and she has an art studio downtown. So she's not sure she'll be making it Friday, but she'll be at the viewing. And I said, I want you to come to church with me. Somebody goes, I will, Miss Linda. I'll be there. And real sweet girl. And so anyway, she said, I'm so thankful that I sent Ray home to get that letter, because we were going to leave him there after he got back, and no telling what would happen. I mean, he'd have been by himself, you know, when this happened. And I said, God knows everything, obviously, because, you know, he didn't get back on the truck out on the freeway. If the truck had been messed, you know, well, he would have took Stan's truck, but it would have happened in the freeway, in other words. And today we took his truck. Stan drove it. I followed him to our mechanic's garage, and there's nothing wrong with the truck. But it was just because Stan said he thinks it happened to make him come home too, you know, or something. I don't know. I don't understand everything, but I just know that everything happened for a reason, and I'm thankful that it happened when it did. And it was, like I said, it was hard for me to, you know, I couldn't imagine, you know, him being gone. And it's like, you know, some of my family come over, you know, stay with me that afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and then, you know, just crying a lot. And I go, I don't want to cry, because I know better. I know, you know, I know the truth. I know everything. But still, you know, somebody kept telling me, but that's your brother. That's human. And you're going to miss him. And I couldn't go make myself go in that area over there where he had his own room and his own bathroom. I just couldn't make myself to go over there. Well, Monday, after I come back, I still couldn't go. Tuesday, well, the grandkids were there, and they wanted to see something. And we walked in the room, and he's like, again, I felt a very warm feeling. And I wasn't scared. I wasn't sad or anything. And I know it was God. It was God holding me again. And he's like, every time I try to get sad, I feel the arms around me. And I appreciate all of y'all praying for me. Because I know, you know, it's going to be hard here. So don't stop praying. I want to still keep feeling God's arms around me. And I just want to thank y'all for being, you know, a friend to him. Because he loved everybody here. And, you know, even though he didn't understand, you know, he can't read and he can't hear very well. But he felt the Spirit. And I know he got the Holy Ghost because he told me. He said, Linda, I speak, not Spanish, not Spanish. I speak, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I said, okay, if you think you got it, you got it. And you know what? Ever since then, he had a very positive spirit. He wasn't as complaining type. You know, I mean, he didn't complain all the time. He was just like, oh, you know, he hurt or you know, I'm going to die. One time I just got tired of hearing him say, I'm going to die. I said, me too. I said, we'll die together, okay? He goes, oh, okay. You know, that shut him up. But anyway, he you know, he also kept us, you know, going. Like, y'all know he was a prankster, and just like my dad. But I appreciate, like I said, you know, y'all being a friend to him and loving him. And like I said, I'm bragging about the God because, like, I had my miracle that I asked for, and it happened today. And thank y'all again.
Give you a little background. I am a sinner, straight up. But I was living in Las Vegas. I worked at a strip club. I used to be security there. And my girlfriend didn't want me to work there anymore, so I ended up getting a different job. And this is just a little background before God changed my life. And I got this other job, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It was a cover kind of job, and I didn't know it at the time. But I met this guy there. He ran the place. And I was talking to him one day, and I looked him in the eyes, and I had this fear. It came upon me like no fear I've ever felt in my whole life. And I quit that job because something I felt inside was telling me that, you know, I don't need to be there. There's something wrong with this job. So what I did was I quit the job. Well, let me remind you, that was the last job I had for about a year and a half. But I quit that job, and I had that fear with me for a year and a half. And I vowed never go back to Las Vegas because of that fear. I went to California, I went to Arizona, I went to Hawaii trying to escape the fear. But lo and behold, came back where I had to come back to Las Vegas. But when I came back to Las Vegas, that fear left me. But it was a mind battling fear. And when we got back to Las Vegas, we were staying at my girlfriend's and her aunt's house. And I couldn't get a job for anything. But this is how God was showing me he controls everything. Everything in my life, my job, how much money I make, everything is his. Because I can never remember a time where I couldn't get a job. But I call it my humbling period. Because I had to be humbled for sure. I had to be humbled. My heart had to be contrite, made contrite. So the day before, it was a Tuesday, I got upset with my girlfriend and her aunt. They were always on me about getting a job, and I was trying. I just couldn't get a job. And I went out walking one night, and I was walking through UNLV College. And I remember now, I didn't think about it until months later after all this stuff happened to me. This guy comes up to me and he goes, hey, man, hey, you. Are you a believer? Do you believe? And I said, yeah, I believe. And he was asking me something. I really don't remember what he was even asking me. But I honestly think that had something to do with the next day. Because the next day, same thing happened, but it was a Wednesday, December 1st, 2010. I'll never forget this day. Because that was the day my whole life was changed. They were arguing with me. I ended up getting my suitcase, walking down the street in Las Vegas to my old church I used to go to. Something was just telling me, go to my old church. But during that walk, something got took out of me. Something felt like something got took out of my stomach. I don't know what it was. Well, I know what it is now. And I had this unbelievable peace. Something that God can only give someone. It was, and I know what my sister's saying back here, where you get that peace. I had this unbelievable peace for 2 weeks. I stayed with my pastor for 2 weeks. Of course, I never knew anything about the Holy Ghost. I did go to church. I've always talked to God, even when I wasn't living it. But I found out later, reading the Bible. I've been reading the Bible since then. He gave me the hunger for the Word. And I know that doing our Father's will, we can never go wrong. We can never go wrong praying for our Father's will every day in our lives. Because that's what I do in my life. And, you know, I talk to people about Jesus Christ every day because I claim Him before man every day. And people... That's right, because we, you know, claim me before man, I claim me before my Father. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm not going to follow man. I'm going to do what Jesus Christ says. And you know, us brothers and sisters, let's get together. Let's follow Jesus together. That's how we need to roll. Because that's how the Bible says. And I think that's how the apostles rolled. Because Jesus Christ, man, that's what they focused on. They focused on Jesus Christ. And that's what I've learned that myself. And I make mistakes every day, but I repent from my sins every day too. So I'm like everybody else. But I just want to share that with everyone. Jesus Christ loves you.
I just want to say I appreciate our brothers. I always love hearing people. Turn me on, Jared. Always love hearing people give their testimony of how the Lord has dealt with them and has saved them from their past sins, and you know, and they're endeavoring to walk with Him and closer to Him every day. And that is, you know, our desire to do that. And there truly is no greater peace to know than Jesus Christ. When He is right there close with us. And I was thinking too, when Sister Linda was up talking about Brother Ray, I thought, you know, I don't open a kitchen cabinet door without thinking about him, because he came and painted all of our cabinets in our house, and when we had them put in, and plastered the walls and painted them too. Well, some of the rooms then he painted and some I did, but he did all my cabinets. And it was, you know, it was nice. I wasn't working then as much. I was just working part-time, so he would come, and I would be there often, and he was always just so friendly and just, you know, couldn't do enough to help you out. And he did a great job for us. And but I'll miss him, you know, not being there and doing it again or some more for us. But he did good, and I'll always think of him. But I just love the Lord tonight, and I appreciate him, and I'm thankful to be here, and thankful for the peace that we do feel in our hearts, and just want to go on and serve him.
Testify tonight. I don't like to get up too often and promote myself, but it looks like it's some lulls. I remember Sister Crow said lulls makes her nervous, but you know, my nephew told me the day of my mother's funeral, he told me, he said, "Troy, you don't have enough sense to get out of the rain." And you know, boy, that really made me feel good. I just lost my mother. So anyway, maybe some of you feel that way about me too, but if you do, I won't hold it against you. My relatives think I'm a little bit crazy. Maybe some of you do too, and if you do, I won't hold it against you. But we've all had experiences we've gone through. You've gone through things that I haven't gone through, and I've gone through things you haven't gone through. But I dare say there's nobody here that has been locked up for wanting to give a testimony, and I have. In 1957, I was going to the Baptist church, and I didn't really want to go, but my dad made me, and I was 15 years old. So one day before church, when we were in Sunday school, he called me in his office, and he said, "I'd like for you to come forward today. You've got a friend coming forward." And so I don't know if a 15-year-old should be pressured like that or not, but anyway, I came forward. So you know, and another thing about my preacher, he's in a rest home now at Conway. His wife passed away a couple of weeks ago, but he had a wife and three kids. But you remember there used to be a rest area between here and Conway back in the 70s, 80s, and so they had to close it up because of the homosexual activity, and his name was in the paper, Conway paper, one day as being one of the men down there seeking other men. So that's quite a testimony about the man that brought me to Jesus. But anyway, I don't know. I don't guess the Baptist Church has liberty now, but they sure did not have liberty then. So he pressured me into going to accept Jesus, and I took it pretty seriously. And I was 18 years old, and one night I went over to his house, and I said, "You know, I'd like to get up sometime and say something in church." He said, "Oh, you'd have to be ordained." And he thought I'd gone off the deep end, and he called my folks, and he said, "Troy needs to be put in psychiatric care." So this preacher that had pressured me into accepting Jesus was wanting me to be locked up. So he suggested the University of Arkansas Medical Center over here on Markham. I guess it's still there. One time, I'm pretty sure one time that Sister Jackie Tucker told me that Paul Fulton, Sister Bryant's father, worked there at one time, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe I remember him because they had the women and men on the same ward. It was just open, and the women were in the front, the men in the back. Of course, they had to keep the men and women separate at night. And I remember this man, they had these aides that watched over us. And I remember Mr. Zimmer Abner. He was a Baptist preacher, and I think Paul Fulton was probably the man that was there in 1960, because I remember a man that looked like him. But anyway, I had to stay there for 3 months, and so I went back home and got a job. So then in 1961, I decided, I was 19 years old, I decided I wanted to run off from home. So I didn't have a car, and I just took off one night running, walking, and I wound up in, I started about 10 o'clock one night, and the next night at midnight, I wound up in Tuckerman, Arkansas. I walked a lot of ways. It was hot weather in July, and but I got a couple of rides with some truck drivers, so I didn't know that I had a cut on my arm, so I was going through Tuckerman, Arkansas about midnight, and the constable saw me, and he saw blood on my arm, and he said, you've been in a fight. I hadn't been in a fight, and I didn't know I had blood on my arm. He took me to jail, so I decided I didn't want to go to jail, but I broke away from him. He told my folks I was sure strong, but later on he came back with two other men, and they put me in jail. So I went home, and I decided I wanted to run off again. So ran off again. This was in 1962, and so I got about, back then, you didn't have any rights. If your relative said, well, he needs to be committed, that's all it took. You had no appeal or anything. So I went back in 1962, and when I was there in 1961, I gained their trust. They gave me ground privileges, and I would show people that came to visit where their different places, their relatives were, and I'd show them around. So I had ground privileges. So in 1962, they were taking us over to the recreation center, and there was a man and about five or six of us. And I decided I wasn't going to stay. I'd been there, so I was in the Baptist University of Arkansas about 3 months, and then 61 I was in the state hospital about 3 months, and then 62 about 3 months. So I decided I didn't want to stay in there anymore. So we was on the way to the recreation hall, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you fools, stand back. I'm leaving here. And I took off running. I was 20 years old. I figured they would catch me and put me back in there, but they didn't find me, and I walked from Little Rock to Conway. Decided I'd just go back and stay with my folks, and they called my folks, said, well, he's gone, and they said, well, when I got home, they said, well, we're just going to let him stay home, we're not going to send him back. But through all of that, there were some things, you can go through things and you can't see the good in it. So I was drafted in 1964, and I was going on 22, and I was headed to Vietnam, and they knew I'd been in the state hospital, but I passed the physical, and they were all ready to send me to the service. I would have wound up in Vietnam. So I had a relative, and he said, my mother had a first cousin that was a doctor in Conway. He was pretty well known. He was on the state racing commission. So one of my relatives said, you better get that doctor to tell the Selective Service that you don't need to be going. So I don't know if I was draft dodger or not, but somehow or another it worked out, that I didn't have to go. So maybe in a sense that's how God kept me from having to go to Vietnam. So we all go through things that, unique things, but my nephew saying I didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain, but I know more about religion than he does. I mean, he is completely in the dark about the truth of the Word of God. So through it all, I feel like I've been blessed, through the good times and the bad times. So praise God. I didn't want to get up and tell all of that on myself, but sometimes it's good to tell your experiences, even if they are a little bit strange. But glad to be with all of you, and God bless you.
Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate getting to be here. The first part of the service was about songs where the talking about the blood of Christ, and as our Paul, is that right? James Paul Brother James said that that's what's covered him is the blood of Christ, and that's what's covered all of us. And appreciate his testimony and understanding where the Lord has brought him, and understanding where the Lord's brought all of us is really imperative to those who are up and coming. A wise man learns from other people. A fool never learns. But I was thinking about the blood while service first started, and I won't take but just a couple of minutes here. But if you can go to Leviticus 14:5, I'll let her put it up there, and we'll scroll through it very quickly. Leviticus 14:5. It's a good picture of how God used to the priesthood to cleanse us from our sins. It says, and the priest shall command that, let's back up to 4, sorry. Then shall the priest command to take from him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, verse 5. And the priest shall command that the one of the birds shall be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. We'll pause there for a second. That's how the Lord died. He died. Our Savior died as a flesh, as a fleshly human. His side was pierced, and as they pointed out to us this weekend, he was bleeding from 7 spots. And going to the next verse, you can just leave them up if you'd like. It'll be fine with me. It says, as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And that water was what Christ died, and he died in the Spirit. He died out to his will. That earthen vessel was killed under the Spirit of God that flowed out from Calvary, as the song said. And it's that Spirit that comes and has covered all of our life. Goes on. Hang in there, Claire. You're doing a great job. He shall sprinkle upon him that is be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And we all had a leprosy on us. We all had sin spotted our life. We were all dying in different states of despondency and lack of sensitivity to the Spirit of God. That's what leprosy does. It affects the nervous system, is one of the things it does, and they cannot feel anything. And so we can become a leprous person, and we were like that. And so the Spirit of God covers our life, and we are clean. That bird died under running water, but then the other bird had the blood applied to it, and it was set free. And that's how we are. We are set free from the bondage of that leprosy or that sin that we have, and we are set into an open field to go hither and thither and everywhere else we want to go by our own free will. And it's by that free will that we serve God. It's by that free will that we're all here tonight, isn't it? Ain't nobody drug us here and made us be here. So I thank God for the blood of Christ, and that he gave that picture. While it's small and minute to us today, we look into that scripture and see it as such an easy scripture to discern. 4,500 years ago, if you had leprosy, I bet you it'd been a little bit harder to discern, but it sure would have been great to live it, wouldn't it? Yes. To know that your life can be cleansed by the death of a bird. But it's by that death that we have been set free. And so I thank Christ tonight. I appreciate the song service. I appreciate the price that was paid. All the things that goes on in our lives daily that he covers us from and protects us as we move about in our free will that he's given us. And while we fly freely through this world without a care, basically, we always remember that price that was paid for us. And so I thank you, Lord. Let's just give him a praise tonight and consider ourselves dismissed. Let's just stand up and praise him, can we? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the service. Thank you, Lord, for your testimonies. But most of all, Lord, thank you that you came and touched us, that your blood covered our life, Lord, that you've set us free, that you've gave us this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord, to lead us and guide us into greater understanding. We love you, Lord. Oh, God, that I can be a witness for you, Lord. Praise your name. Amen. God bless you.